So I'm going to be leading us through the second week of this little mini-series called Stretch. So if you've got a Bible and you want to turn to Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28, we're going to be looking at that in just a few minutes. But there is one thing I want to make mention of. Some of you came to a meeting back in January as we were looking and planning and thinking about a trip to the Holy Land. And that is going to be a fun trip. If you were a part of that night and you were interested in signing up, we just want to remind you that April 21st is kind of the date that we were putting on that, so that's for the Saanich people. After that date, we're going to be opening it up to other people as well. You can sign up after that date as well, but we're just letting you know that those deadlines are starting to come forward. We're looking forward to that trip, and you can talk to Rob and Maya Reinhart. Maya's at the back. I have no idea where Rob is. Oh, there he is. At the back, yeah. So you can talk to them after the service if you're interested. If you weren't at that meeting as well, that's okay. You can still talk to them. They've got information. They'd love to share that with you. I just want to pray. You know, as Christina and Kim mentioned, there's been some really tough stuff going on within our church family, both here at the Wilkinson Road campus and out at Centennial Park. And I think it'd be nice to just pause for a minute of prayer, and then we'll get into God's Word. God, we do thank you. As we've been reminded that you are actually with us, that you are alive, that you are aware, and that you care. God, some in our family here, our church family, are facing just some very difficult time. There's uncertainty, God. They're waiting for results of tests. There's things that have been going on, and it's just a real challenge. God, I pray for your peace to be upon them, that they would, in these days of waiting, these hours of waiting, that they would not end up in despair, but that they would know your peace in the midst of this particular storm. And God, for those who maybe are facing challenges in their home or their place of business, and maybe it's dealing with customers, or maybe it's some employee issues. God, these are difficult things, and I pray for wisdom for them. God, maybe some are facing just some relational things within extended family, within their own children. I just don't know, but I just know within relationships, life can get very, very difficult at times. God, may we be a people of peace. May we be a people who want to bless. And God, if possible, may we be a people who want to restore. So God, as we recognize again that you are with us, and as we look at this story of your interaction with this woman, God, would you maybe open our ears, our eyes, our hearts, our thoughts to hear something new today? For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, stretching to me is kind of like flossing. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I was younger, you're told to floss, never did it. Told to stretch, right? Before and after, exercise, all that kind of stuff. Never did it, right? As I'm getting older, what am I told to do? Stretch. What am I told to do? Floss. Am I understanding that these things are important more than when I was younger? Am I always doing it? Little more than when I was younger, right? You know, actually, I remember I was on this stage back in January, and I told you about the goofy workout routine I did, the stupid 360-degree lunges and all that kind of ridiculous stuff. Like, what an idiot. But anyways, so I wrecked my knee, remember? And recently, I discovered that there's a simple little stretch. I actually did some reading on stretching and visited my athletic therapist, which is quite a joke. I'm not an athlete. But anyhow, like to think we are. Legends in our own mind. And she was showing me a few stretches, and I discovered this real simple little stretch that actually did what stretching's supposed to do, and it seems to have healed my little knee joint, and I'm quite happy about it. It's really quite nice. And so the phrase is this, folks: when in doubt, thank you, let's try that again. When in doubt, there we go, awesome. Now you see, what's true in our physical body, the physical reality of who we are, we are trying to suggest is true in our spiritual life, in our walk with Jesus. We don't want to just kind of stay static, and frankly, we don't stay static. Physically, as we grow older, one of the reasons we need to stretch is because our bodies start to shrink and shrivel up, and our muscles start to shorten, and it just gets really ugly, right? Like we just kind of do all of this, and we don't want to get ugly spiritually either, right? We want to grow. We want to enjoy the life and experience the life that God has called us to. And so stretching, spiritually if you like, is a part of that. So when Steve asked me to speak on one of the messages during this series, I was trying to figure out, you know, what story do I tell and all that kind of thing. And I decided to look into a passage of scripture that, quite frankly, many times I've read it, I've wanted to just tear it out and throw it in the garbage. It's one of those passages, it's a head scratcher, it's kind of like, what in the world is going on there? And I thought, you know what, Anderson, how about you grow up a little bit and maybe stretch, and let's have a little conversation about that text this morning. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to all learn a little bit this morning, I think, and see what God wants to tell us. And I think as I read this, if you're like any of the other congregations, you're going to all of a sudden go, what in the world is God saying in this passage? All right? So Matthew 15, 21 to 22. 28, it says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. They're kind of whining about this lady being around. He answered, well, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. It's an interesting phrase. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. And then he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to dogs. Clear as mud, right? Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Whew! The story ends well. That middle section, not so much. What in the world is going on? I mean, we could simply say, hey, the end justifies the means, right? No, we need to figure out what is going on here. That is a very challenging passage. And if you've taken any time to maybe discover who Jesus is and read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every once in a while, you come across one of these where you just kind of go, really? What? That doesn't seem to match with so many of these other interactions that I've seen with Jesus and other people. What gives? Right? And if that's where you're at this morning, when you hear that, you are in the right spot. That's exactly where you need to be. Kind of like, what is going on here? Now, before we get going too far, rather than just calling her woman, because that sounds not great. In the second century, one of the historical authors and writers of church history and all, Clementine, which sounds like an interesting name, isn't it? It's an orange. We could all rabbit kind of thing. It just happens. he thought that her name was Justa. Now that's not, you know, we don't know for sure if that was her name, but we're going to give her the name Justa just so that we're not just always calling her woman. All right. So it sounds as if when we read this, it sounds as if Jesus is making an incredibly derogatory comment to this woman, to Justa. Doesn't it sound like that? And if this were the only thing we knew of Jesus and his interaction with women, we would think he was a misogynistic, typical man of this patriarchal area, and we would be right. If this is what we knew of Jesus, if this is the way, we would be right. I mean, that's horrible. What's going on there? I don't understand. And so what we need to do a little bit here, because this isn't simply the only thing we know about Jesus and in this interaction with women, we need to kind of scratch below the surface a little bit. We need to go, something doesn't pass the sniff test here a little bit. What is really going on here? There must be more to it than what just sort of seems to meet the eye when we first do a quick reading of this. You see, when we see something that flies in the face that seems out of character of a person, right? You hear a story about somebody that's not who you know them to be, we should kind of push pause. As you know, I had four kids, wonderful kids, but all wonderful kids aren't always wonderful. Wonderful kids, you know, sometimes tell stories, right? Don't always get things right. You know, there were times when the kids would come to me and one of them would say, well, Mom said, and then it'd be like that, right? And I would kind of go, what? That does not sound like the woman that I've known for the last 20 years. Something's missing here, right? Because I know this woman, right? Like, I know her character. And so when I hear something that seems a little askew, that doesn't seem to really line up, I push pause. And I go, I got to have a little bit more of a think on this, right? And that's exactly what happens as we come to this passage. Now, we understand, we heard it. Justa is a mom, right? She's got a daughter, and her daughter is suffering terribly. She's got a need, and it's her daughter, and she's heard about this Jesus, and so she comes to him. Now, when she comes to Jesus, first of all, what happens is all of a sudden there's silence, and that's just weird. Why silence? Didn't stop her, though. She comes again, right? Lord, help me. And then Jesus gives her this really weird statement. It's not right to take the children's bread and feed it to the dogs. Like, what is going on here? There's got to be more. Now, here. We also see the second response. I missed that one. The second response was, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel when she came and asked for help. What's happening? Well, Jesus is right. Right? You've been a church at Christmas. You've sung the Christmas carols. What do we know about Jesus through the Christmas carols and Christmas season, all that? We understand that the Messiah, right, was prophesied, and he was going to come what? He was going to come through the line of the Jewish people, the Israelites, right? The Messiah was going to come through all of that. And Jesus, as the Messiah, his first calling, his first purpose as he came was to help the Israelites, the Jewish people, recognize that he was the Messiah. So he was right. That was a correct statement that he made. I mean, not that I was accusing Jesus of not saying something correct, but what I'm just pointing out is he's right there. True statement, Jesus. Seems a little odd, but true, right? So what is going on here? This next phrase, I mean, bread and dogs and, like, he's talking to a woman, like, that just seems highly inappropriate. Right? Some of you are looking at me like, Anderson, if you don't fix this soon, I'm coming after you. I got that. What we need to understand about that phrase is that was just a very common phrase of the day. It was a phrase that the Jewish people had about Gentiles. They consider them to be just dogs, like just nuisance. Like, what is wrong? Like, they consider themselves to be better than the Gentiles. So it was a true statement. It was within culture. That was what was going on. That's what was being said there. Now, one of the things that we need to recognize here is when we read that, does that mean that Jesus agrees with it? Right? Like, just because somebody says something, does that mean that it's what they believe to be true? Like, in this context, what is going on here? He makes a factual statement of something that is going on within culture that some were believing. Well, let's carry on a little bit. I'll address that in just a few moments. What's really interesting here is Justa's response. She doesn't argue, you know, whether or not as a Gentile, as a Canaanite, she was of the same value as a Jewish person. She wasn't arguing, you know, Canadians are as good as Americans, right? And doing that whole thing. Facebook arguments enter here. Right? That's not what she was doing. That wasn't her purpose. That wasn't her reason. She didn't argue with that phrase, that normal kind of cultural phrase that was going on about the, you know, the Jews being better than this and therefore, you know, dogs and all that. She didn't go there. As a matter of fact, she used the phrase and said, yeah, you know what? That's true, Jesus. Yeah, that's true. But you know what? I would even just take some of the crumbs, just like the dog would, that fall to the floor. I'm just here for whatever you could give me, Jesus. Like she doesn't say that's crazy. What's going on? How could you say that? See, her purpose wasn't to correct the cultural norm. Her purpose here was to come to this man, Jesus, and to find healing for her daughter. And she wouldn't be stopped. So that's Justa's perspective. Let's try to scratch below the surface a little bit and think about what Jesus' perspective was. What's going on here? You see, I think Jesus was always teaching. I believe that he was one of these guys that just believed in the teachable moment, right? And I think when he taught sometimes, the people of that day missed it. I think sometimes we miss it, just like you as parents had those amazing gems that you were throwing out before your children, and they were completely missing it, right? Not that you ever did that, but hey, we do it sometimes, right? We miss things. What was Jesus maybe teaching here? You see, what I think Jesus was doing here is he was kind of like giving a shout out. Hey, Israel, remember me? I come through your line. Yeah, got this dog here. I mean, according to you. And you know what? This woman has great faith. What about you? Does that make sense? I mean, he said it another time when the Roman centurion came to him and needed healing. Do you remember the shout out there? I've not found faith in all of Israel like I've seen in this Roman centurion. See, he was trying to remind the people, yes, Israel, yes, Jewish people, I came through your lineage. And I've come to help you understand that I am the Messiah that you've been waiting for. But make no mistake, every single person on this planet matters. It is not right that somehow you think you are superior to these other people. I mean, this is what you call them. This is what culture calls these people, these Gentiles. And yet, look at her. Woman, Justa, of great faith. It was a shot across the bow. It was a shout out to all of the Jewish people, and not only the Jewish people, but the Gentile people. Hey, listen, I'm here for you too. You matter to me. I feel and hear and understand the pain that you're experiencing. He's always teaching. So I hope that maybe helps you understand a little bit about what's going on in that passage. There's more here. Some things that kind of caught my attention as I was going through this story. And one of the ones is that she just ignored the barriers. There are all kinds of barriers set up before her, and she just flat out ignored them. I mean, think about it from her side of things, if you like. First of all, she was a woman. And in that culture, a woman was maybe second-class citizen, right? Like, not educated. Again, this is that culture. This is not today, okay? Don't waste your time educating women. That was the feeling then. Women weren't allowed to travel. They were supposed to be in their homes. Men would go. They would go travel together. Women weren't allowed to inherit property. So if a husband passed away, they didn't give the deed or the title of the property or whatever to the woman. They gave it to the nearest male relative. I mean, we sometimes throw around this phrase in our, you know, with our kids and all that kind of stuff. Okay, you can be seen but not heard, right? You ever use that? No, you never heard that. Wow, that's impressive. They, back in that day, said, I don't even want to see you, let alone hear you. This is what Justa knew. This is what Justa experienced. This was her reality. And she said, I need Jesus. I've heard of this man. I need this man. And she pushed through. Yeah, she was a Gentile. Yes, according to culture, she was this second-class citizen. But she pushed through. She'd heard the stories of Jesus. And she hoped that he would be able to help her in the situation that she was in. She knew she could have been ridiculed. She knew she maybe even physically could have been pulled away. But she pushed through it. And so as I read this, I'm challenged by her example. And I wonder, what are the barriers that you're facing that are maybe holding you back? What is culture telling you that is holding you back? What are the barriers? Maybe what are the family things? Maybe within your family there's some barriers that when you're at home and you still have them as an adult that are kind of holding you back. I mean, you heard that, you know, as you were a kid or whatever, you were not the sharpest knife in the drawer. That you're a few fries short of a Happy Meal, frankly. You know, that your brother or your sister, look at them go. Why aren't you like, right? And we start to hear that stuff. And that holds us back. Like, we just don't think that we can move forward because we've been told our whole life. Like, in some families, there are, like, women do this, right? And women don't do this. Men do this and men don't do that. What are the barriers? Like, maybe you weren't wired up quite the way Dad was, and so you've got some other interests and things that you do well, and yet is it okay in your family for you to head down that road to pursue that career, that direction? And what are the barriers that are holding you back? Maybe it's something in your past. Something in your closet that you just don't want anyone to know about. I mean, your spouse doesn't even know. And because of that, you don't feel like you can quite push through. First of all, if that's true, that you've got something in your past, I'm here to tell you that you are ready to be used by God. Because, man, story after story after story in here, Jesus used people with pasts all the time. He's so good at that. See, Justa, if she were here today, and we can have her here today, if you like, in this story, and she'd just be screaming, push through those barriers. Like, how desperately do you need Jesus? Will you go after him? Don't let other people define you. Let Jesus define who you are and all that you can be. Another thing that sort of jumped off the page for me when I was reading this was, could you be the person who creates room for those who have been pushed to the margins? Like, that's what Jesus did here. Culturally, Justa should have been pushed to the margins. She should not have been listened to. She, like, over here. But Jesus and who he was created space for her and for others like her. Could you be the person who helps people find their place, if you like, find their voice in our culture, in our society today? Could you be the kind of person who fights for the underdog? That's what Jesus was all about. You know, children would be coming to Jesus and the disciples would be, you know, kind of blocking them off, going, no, this is adult stuff. And he'd be going, no, bring the children here. Women are coming around. And he's saying, let them come to me. And the disciples are like, I don't know. We've got this phrase in our culture, right? What, really come to you? To follow you, to travel with you? This doesn't make sense. The forgotten, could you be that kind of person? Because that's the kind of person Jesus was. Could that be you? You see, Jesus was the second chance guy. And see, what I know about that is that sometimes that's really hard for us to take. Because we look around and we see some of the people who have had a second chance and we're not sure they deserved it. Because they took a pound or two of your flesh. They had hurt you in a significant way. And that's hard. See, Jesus knows we all start from the same place. Men, women, boys and girls, we're all created in the image of God and we're all unique. I raised four kids. You know, I guess I knew this was going to happen, but still, it just still blew me away as I was raising these four kids. Like, they are, like, so different. It's unbelievable. Same parents, right? Same amazing wisdom day in and day out. And they're just so different. Unique. Different gifts and abilities, passions, experiences, struggles, right? And God knows that, and God can reach in, and God can use each and every one of you. Could you be the person that could help others find that place, find that space, find their voice? If you are, man, you're working with Jesus. That would be awesome. Another thing we see in this story, and it's pretty obvious, but Justa was the person who demonstrated a determined, like, never give up, you know, push through. You know, there's no uncle kind of cry out from her life. She was persistent. She went after Jesus. She never stopped. I mean, Jesus, help me. Nothing. Didn't say a thing. Jesus, no, really, please, help me. Well, I don't know. Bread and dogs and crumbs didn't dissuade her. She kept pushing, kept coming. And he responded, woman of great, great faith. You see, culturally, she wasn't entitled to anything that Jesus would offer her. That we know for sure. And yet her daughter was what drove her. She needed the healing from her daughter. So she boldly, yet humbly, do you see that? She boldly pushed through, and yet she was very humble. She didn't fight for her space. She didn't ball up her fist and say, yeah, Jesus, you know, come on, we're just as good, right? That whole thing. She didn't do any of that. She just came humbly. Could you help me? Yeah, you know what? Jesus, I'd just take a crumb or two. Because a crumb or two from you is all I need. And Jesus responded and healed her. Jesus defied what others thought and said and expected that he would do for her. And so this morning, the other thing we're thinking about here is, what is your cause? What is your purpose? What is your reason that would allow you to push through? You see, your and my purpose, if you like, will define our jam, if you like. That what is it that's going to keep you from backing off? What is that purpose? What's that calling that God has for you? Jesus was a restorer. He was a freedom defender. And I think in this series, Steve and I are trying to ask ourselves as people, but also, you know, to you as well, asking this question: will you allow Jesus to stretch you, to give you a purpose that empowers you to blow through the barriers and is dependent on Him showing up? Like, the last thing we want to do is live a life devoid of God's power, God's strength, God's call. Is that the life you're living? Just kind of just going day by day and just making it and just kind of, oh yeah, yeah, it's Sunday, so that'll be good. Or are you leaning in to what God is calling you to? I mean, sometimes we think this is just the huge stuff, like just the amazingly massive stuff, like Jesus healed, you know, Justice's daughter. That's incredible. And we want to see the kingdom of God come and His will be done and healing to happen and all those amazing things. That would be incredible and that would be awesome. But there's a whole lot of other places where Jesus needs to show up in your life and in my life, in the day-to-day relational stuff that we deal with. How about at work and at home? Are you the kind of person at home or at work that you kind of snap back? Someone gives you this little one-liner and you go, oh yeah, take this. Boom, I got a better one for you, right? Just sort of escalate that situation. Let's get the temperature rising because that'll make everything better, right? And then all of a sudden you got these things being said and feelings are getting hurt and promises are being left. Like, it's horrible. Is that you? I mean, Jesus came to bring peace. Jesus came and He gave respect to people who are devalued. Can we do that? I'm here to tell you, you're going to need the work of God in your own life to be able to value people and to give people respect on a consistent basis. Extended family, you know, are we the man or woman of peace? I mean, extended family can be so hard. Are we restorers? Are we forgivers? Are we people who bring a blessing? How about in our neighborhood, in our, you know, our community? Like, are you the person who comes in and tries to build community, or are you standing on the corner with, you know, a few of the folks there and looking down at Yahoo's property and they're like, what is wrong with that guy? He's lowering the value of our homes. What is wrong with him? That's building community. That's not raising a hierarchy at all, right? We need God because that is so easy to fall into. How about school? You got kids in school. Do your teachers see you as a friend or a foe? Are you working together? Can you disagree with someone and yet still love and value and respect them? Man, that takes a work of God, doesn't it? It's who He was. I mean, He completely disagreed with many, many men and women that He did life with, and yet He went to the wall for them. Well, He went to the cross for them. Would you allow Jesus to stretch you, to empower you to burst through, like blow through those barriers that are holding you back from all that God wants to do in and through your life? Could you do that? I mean, you're going to need Him to do that. Let's pray. God, what a crazy story. What an amazing thing, though. You just did it time and time again, where you just shattered the cultural norms. You came along and you showed value and respect, and you brought hope and you brought good news to so many people who just felt like they were of no value. That because maybe of what they had done, maybe because of where they were from, that somehow they had been told that they were second rate. And yet, God, that is just not who you were. Jesus, you obliterated that. And you continually called it out. And God, the Israelites of that time, the Jewish people were struggling with that. Somehow they were just feeling this sense of superiority over the world around them. And God, it could so easily happen to us at church. To somehow we watch the news, we read the tweets, we hear the stories, and somehow we think that we're better than the world around us. God, break us of that. Help us to recognize that we are to come and to bring your good news to each and every one around us, within our homes, our neighborhoods, our places of work, those who offend us, those who are against us, those who seem like they're blocking us. God, you're going to have to stretch us because that just does not come naturally. We need your presence. We need your strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to radically change us, stretch us, grow us to the point where we are the bringer of peace, we're the bringer of hope, we're the bringer of mercy, we're the bringer of grace, we're the bringer of blessing. God, may that be who we are for your glory. Thank you for Justa. Thank you for what she taught us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.